Welcome to season 5 of the Book Marketing Action Podcast. We're back with another season of exciting guests, real conversations, and actionable insights for you to help reach the biggest possible audience for your work. We're here to share guidance on marketing and all other aspects of your author journey while exploring everything you need to be successful in sharing your important work with the world. I'm Becky Robinson, your host on this journey. I'm also the founder and CEO of Weaving Influence and the author of Reach, Create the Biggest Possible Audience for Your Message, Book, or Cause. Thanks for choosing to learn with me, and I hope you take action as a result of our conversations. You can find the show notes in the episode description and make sure to subscribe to our weekly newsletter at weavinginfluence.com for continued book marketing learning opportunities. I'm ready. Let's get started. I'm so excited to talk today with Leah Paulos. And Leah, as we get started today, could you tell our listeners about yourself and your work in the world?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I am the founder of Press Shop PR and Book Publicity School. So basically, I spend all day long working with authors, media, and publishers. So at the intersection of all of those three spaces, sort of navigating those worlds and trying to get authors as much media attention for their books as possible. So it's a very exciting work. I love it. We're sort of very fast paced, always interesting, and really gratifying working with authors that we believe in, that we love, and making sure to try and find their audiences and reaching them through media and events. So I feel really lucky.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the types of authors you support before we dive into our conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. So at Press Shop PR, we have two different businesses. One is Press Shop PR and the other is Book Publicity School. So Press Shop PR is where we do all of our full service campaigns. And at Press Shop, we do a lot of serious nonfiction, narrative nonfiction. We've worked on a number one bestsellers. We've been really lucky. We worked on Tyranny by Tim Snyder. We worked on March by John Lewis. A whole bunch of really big books. But it really runs the gamut. You know, some of our authors and our books are really big campaigns, big bestseller campaigns where we are targeting, you know, the national NPRs and MSNBC and all of the big book review venues. And then we also work with debut authors. We work with academic presses. So it kind of runs the gamut, but our focus in terms of topic for nonfiction is tech, environment, higher ed, social justice, some parenting. We do some memoir. And then we also do some fiction. We do a little bit of literary fiction as well.
So I wonder how you can tell a book is going to be a big success in the media.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, one answer, which is probably the truest, but also maybe not that helpful, is that we've just been doing it a long time. So we sort of get the feel of it. But I mean, when people come to us at Press Shop, you know, we are really, I don't want to say picky because that sounds sort of obnoxious, but we're very sort of discriminating about what books we'll take. And the reason is that we want to be able to make sure that if we're taking a book, that we're going to be able to be really successful. You know, like we don't want to take a book for a media campaign and then be hitting our heads against the wall. You know, so we want to have a really clear sense of where we're going to be able to go. So with media, of course, nothing is, you know, guaranteed. I can't say, oh, well, you know, here and now on NPR will definitely have you. Of course not. But we like to sort of be able to say, you know, like within this tier of media hits. So maybe it's regional NPRs or Sirius XM or these kinds of podcasts. We feel like a bunch of stuff will happen. And then we'll always reach higher and try and get, you know, the bigger hits. But we always want to make sure that those that the sort of success of the campaign doesn't rely on those big hits that are so competitive. So that's sort of how we think about it with a book. Are we going to be able to do this? Can we envision exactly what, how the campaign is going to go? And that's sort of how we determine it. And then in terms of if it's a good fit for us, we want to make sure that the author or the publisher, whoever is hiring us, that's what they're in for. They're happy with that. They would be happy with what we think we can do.
So having a realistic view of what's possible and communicating that to the author, and if that aligns to what the author wants, then they might be a good fit for you.
Exactly.
Thank you, Leah. So one of the things I was really excited to talk with you about is how authors who are launching their books this year in 2024 can deal with the possible difficulty of getting media attention in a very busy news year. And I'm referencing the election. So, as you're thinking about the books that you have campaigns set up for this year, how can authors think about what it means to release a book during an election year?
Yeah, no, it's such a good question. So, there's a number of things. And, I think really when we're thinking about an election year is it's sort of just like all of the struggles that authors always have in this environment, in the past 5 years with social media and everything is moving so quickly. When it's an election year, it's just more of that. It's just more intense. It's more quickly paced. There's more noise, and people's attention is limited. So, I think you really need to drill down on the sort of fundamentals. So, in this environment, media these days it's so fractured. People are getting their information from so many different places. For an author, you want to be in a lot of different places, but you want to be in the places where your potential readers are getting their information. So that's always the start. We talk about this a lot at Book Publicity School, where we do our trainings, teaching authors, how do you find out where your potential readers are, and how are you going to reach them? And you want to be, really focused and specific. You don't want to say, oh, they read the New York Times book review. Like, okay, yes, of course. And some books will get reviewed there, but hundreds and thousands of books are released every week. You know what? I think there's 30 some books in the Times book review every week. So you really have to plan for other, you have to make other plans. So, that's a really big thing is figuring out where your readers, like what are their specific interests? What podcasts might they be listening to? What Substacks have they subscribed to? What online, outlets do they read? And target them there. So, this is always important, but in an election year, even more so, because yes, the election is going to take up a certain amount of people's attention. As it gets closer, maybe now, who knows, maybe 5% of someone's reading time or online time is reading and following politics. As it gets closer, it's going to go up to like 15, and then, in the summer, more. But there's still people still have other attention, other spaces in their life. It's just like, okay, maybe it's the I'm going to read my politics, and then I also am a writer, and I want to read my, listen to my craft of writing podcasts. So you just have to really get specific and niche down. Really think about the people that are really going to respond to your work.
So I'm curious to hear, Leah, if you were an independently published author, you were self-publishing a book in 2024, how would you decide on the release date relative to the noise that will happen come November for the election? What months might you avoid or seek out? I even had an author recently ask me, should I push my book release to 2025 because of the election noise? So what do you think about that?
It's such a good question, and I wouldn't say there's an easy answer to it for a number of different reasons. So first of all, it depends on the book, what it is. If it if it has to do with something, if it has to do with, election denial, maybe it's a good time to release it right before the election. So there's that piece. And then there's the other piece that you have to realize that you're not making this decision in a bubble or in a vacuum, that every author and publishing house is also making this decision. So a lot of books have been pushed from that time period because they're like, I don't want this big release to come out right at the election and be buried in news. So there are a lot of books that were pushed earlier or later. So then, in order to, then you, if you are also doing that, you are sort of in competition with a huge crop of books that were shifted around because of the election. So, and the same goes for, publishing a book in the summer or, things like that, where people are like, oh, well, that's not a good pub date. Everyone's just on vacation. And yeah, there's absolutely, that's true. There's an element of it. But another side of that is that every big book from every big publisher comes out in the fall. September, October typically are the biggest months for releasing the big books. So there's a huge amount of competition then. So, with everything, you really have to weigh it. There's pros and there's cons. And it's really about sort of doing the work whenever your book is coming out.
So what I'm hearing so far is that authors who are really great at identifying where their audiences are seeking information will do the best. And that makes perfect sense. One of my favorite things to tell authors is you have to really decide who your ideal reader is, and it can't be everyone. So I wonder what other tips you have for authors to break through the noise when everyone's attention is scattered.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, so another thing, and we also focus on this a lot in our book publicity school workshops, is the messaging piece. So we help authors, figure out how to craft the descriptions of their book, their pitches for their book, because it is so important. It's not, back, however many years ago, not that many. When you published a book, there was a lot of sending copies out, and the book could do the work that it needed to do on its own. And, now you're just not, nobody's sending out too many unsolicited review copies. It's a waste. No one's at the, people aren't at the office. So in the way things work, you have to come up with really compelling language to get somebody to bite on your book. So really compelling and quick. It has to be quick because it's landing in people's inbox along with so many other emails. So we, are really focused on teaching authors, for book publicity school and doing it ourselves at Press Shop, figuring out how to talk about your book in the most compelling way possible, very story forward. You want to, and I don't mean story as in plot. I mean story as in what is the hook? You have to get people's attention so quickly. That is really a huge thing. And it can be hard because for authors in particular, because when you live with a project for so long and writing a book is very, you spend a lot of time with yourself. You know what you want to say. You know the breadth of your work. It can be hard to then step outside of that and think, okay, how is this going to land if I describe it? How am I going to, I know this so well. How am I going to describe this to somebody who doesn't know anything about this in 10 seconds and make them want to read it? And that's a really important thing to have to figure out. And also, the same goes, I'm sure you see it in your work, that the subject line in an email, I often say it might be the, eight, seven, six, seven, eight words, most important words, in the book promotion campaign. Because no matter how compelling your pitch materials are and the way you talk about your book and position it, if people don't open the email, it doesn't matter. So that's another thing that's really important. You want to really think about what is going to get people to open the email in the right state of mind. You don't want to say, hey, you want $1 million.
Yeah.
It should speak to the book. And then once they open it, to get them to want to request the book.
So let's dispel a few myths. You mentioned earlier, Leah, that sometimes you're h hired by a publisher for a campaign, which I would imagine is a fairly unusual thing in 2024. But I'm curious if you could share with our listeners a bit about what kind of promotion an author can expect from their publisher.
Yeah. So, I mean, it varies to some extent from publisher to publisher. The big five and their imprints, particularly for their lead titles, where if they've acquired a book for a lot of money, that's a pretty good indication that they are then going to spend a chunk of change on the marketing and publicity. But they, pretty much across the board, the in-house publicity and marketing folks are really, the offices are just really, the teams are really, really understaffed. So, it varies at a small, at an academic press, the publicists are handling dozens of books. At small independent presses, maybe there's one person in publicity. It varies, but I think it's really important for authors to go in just knowing that they need to be proactive. They need to work really collaboratively with their publicist. They have to, be really, support them and give them as much material as they can so that they can help promote their book, help the publicist help them. So it does kind of vary, but in general, publicity takes a long time. Doing a campaign, when we take on a campaign at Press Shop, we spend hundreds of hours on our campaign. There's a huge amount of research, media research. There's a huge amount of, the writing and messaging piece. There's a lot of coordinating. There's just a lot to do to really pound the pavement for a book in a media campaign. And they just don't have the time. They are juggling a lot of books. How could they possibly have the time? They've got an 8-hour workday. Even if they have an 11-hour workday, which I hope they don't, they still don't have the time.
So what I like to tell authors is that whether or not their publisher has resources to put toward marketing, and quite often they don't, every author is the chief marketing officer for their book. Would you agree with that?
100%.
As an author and seasoned book marketing expert, I know the struggles and frustrations that come from launching a book into market. Where do you start? Which channels should you be on? How can you best engage the right audience? How do you stand out among the noise? Fortunately, we've got you covered. To alleviate these stressors, my team at Weaving Influence and I recently launched the Book Marketing Strategy Live course. Through this 6-hour cohort-based small group training, you'll learn the ins and outs of book marketing and gain access to our learning of over a decade of helping authors launch their books into the world. And you'll do this in a supportive community of like-minded authors. Ultimately, you'll discover how to most effectively leverage your time, energy, and money to launch your book into the world with momentum. Plus, with your course purchase, you'll receive a toolkit of resources, including guides, timelines, and templates to ensure you're thoroughly supported as you start the execution phase of your book marketing journey. Are you ready to get started? We offer a new course every 6 to 8 weeks, and you can find upcoming course dates and reserve your seat at weavinginfluence.com. I can't wait to see you at the live course.
And that's really why we do our workshops, because authors do need to do a lot and publishers expect them to do a lot. And then a lot of authors are like, but I wrote the book. I'm a writer. I'm an author. I'm not a publicist. I'm not a marketer. I don't know how to do it, or I don't like doing it. So that's, what we try to share in our workshops at the school is, Okay, you kind of have to do this. Let us tell you everything you need to know so that you can do it, so you can be effective. So you like, what can you give to the publicist, your in-house publicist, to make their job easier? So we sort of explain how you can find different targeted media outlets, like I was talking about before, and hand them over to your in-house publicist. Because most of them would love to do that work for you. I mean, every in-house publicist I've met, they're big champions of books. They want to promote the books. It's just a matter of bandwidth. So if you can give them ideas and names and lists of podcasts, most of them are going to be thrilled.
That's really, really good advice to be proactive if you do have the luxury of an in-house publicist who's going to be pitching your book to give them what they need to do their job more effectively. So let's talk about the connection between publicity and book sales. This is one that authors often ask me, and I'm curious to hear your take on it, Leah.
So I have a lot to say about that. So definitely publicity and book sales. I mean, getting great publicity definitely moves books. I would say that there are some media hits out there that move the needle. Whenever we've had an author on Morning Joe, for example, or the morning shows, Good Morning America, or National NPR, those are hits that you absolutely see. The numbers on Amazon, they definitely work. I don't think they work as well as they used to, again, because people have more inputs. They're not all listening to NPR. It's before you'd if you got into your car, you'd turn on NPR. Now some people are listening to their podcast queue, so it just doesn't have as big a bump. But those still do move the needle. But I would also say it's not a direct connection, because in order for sales to come from publicity, there are a lot of other things also need to be in place. So there needs to be good distribution. If it's in bookstores, obviously that's helpful. If the publisher's doing some advertising or they're doing marketing, social media marketing, if their sales team is sort of aggressively out there pushing the book and getting it to libraries and all of that stuff, that's all part of the push towards, or the campaign for sales. All of those pieces are in effect. So publicity isn't just one of them. So, when people come to us at Press Shop, I'm always really clear about that. If somebody comes to us and is like, am I gonna make, recoup my money for this campaign in sales? I'll say, I don't know. I wouldn't promise that at all. Definitely many books we've worked on have more than recouped their sales many times over. And also a lot of them haven't. So if that's your only goal, I wouldn't come into a campaign. I wouldn't, invest in a publicity campaign if that's your only goal. A lot of authors have different goals when they come, though, which I'm sure you see in your work as well, becoming more of a thought leader or promoting their, maybe they have a project or a social cause, or maybe they want paid speaking and engagements. Maybe they want an agent for their next book, or maybe they want their agent to be able to get a bigger advance for their next book. So, we always really want to see that that's the reason when someone comes for us, because that's the stuff that PR is great for.
Yeah, let's do a quick list of that again. So, PR can lead to book sales, and what I heard you say is PR also helps people grow their thought leadership brands. It helps them attract speaking engagements. It helps drive business for their coaching, consulting. What else?
Let's see. So it can help them in their career. We've had a lot of academics who wanted it because they were up for tenure or something like that. So it can help in that. And then it can help in your writing career. So it can help you put together an impressive book proposal package for your next book. So if you don't have an agent, it can help you get an agent. If you do have an agent, it can help your agent get a better advance, a better contract for your next book, another a better publisher. So that there's also, I mean, sometimes authors are you just want to talk about their books. I mean, that's another element of it that some, this is my baby. Maybe this is my memoir and I want to talk about my life and I want to share it with readers. Or maybe, it's a cause or a political cause. They want to spread the word. So, that's another piece.
Yeah, and as I listened to you, I was thinking that those desires that authors have in terms of just wanting people to read their book or wanting to reach people with their message, that's something that hasn't changed across time. You mentioned earlier that you've been at this PR business for a while, over 20 years, I think you said. And so I'm curious if we could reflect for a moment about what you've seen that has changed in the last 20 years and what some of those unchanging realities are for authors.
Oh, well, there's a lot that has changed. So let me see. Let me just pick a few. I mean, obviously media. I mean, book publicity it's an interesting space because it's at the intersection of books and media, and both industries have completely changed over the past couple decades. So I mean, there weren't any ebooks. There were tons of review pages. I would say that from a media perspective, everything has changed in that far fewer traditional review venues for books, but many other more opportunities. I mean, before when I first started, it was like a list of 125 book editors, producers that you had to get the book to. And then, yeah, you can do other stuff, but like you could do a good campaign being pretty focused. Now it's like, well, there's, 7,000 new, ways of reaching people. So your outreach needs to be much more robust. So that's one thing. I think the book events have changed. That used to be a really sort of standard part of a lot of publication of authors would go on a book tour and they'd go, maybe they go to the West Coast and do LA and San Francisco and Portland and Seattle or whatever it is. That has really fallen off. It was starting to fall off before the pandemic, after the pandemic, much more so. So that's changed. I would say things that haven't changed are people still need a story. People, like to, people are thirsty for information and they're thirsty for stories. And then authors are, like telling stories and like writing and want to share their work. And, that's the sort of fundamentals that haven't gone anywhere. It's just the all of the techniques and strategies have changed as we've gone.
Yes, for sure. I was thinking about that because I've been working with authors since 2012, so not quite as long, 12 or 13 years. And sometimes I think that not that much has changed in these years. The thing that stands out to me, though, is just the shrinking staffs at most publications and how, well, and then also the rise of podcasts as a potential placement that can be valuable for authors.
Yeah, I mean the media, it's a really intense time and a really scary time for journalists. There's fewer and fewer places on the publicity side to go. And on the journalist side, I mean people are losing their job left and right. I mean right at the beginning of 2024, that first month, I think it was what, Pitchfork folded, Sports Illustrated, the LA Times laid off 115 people. The Messenger folded, Business Insider left, let off a lot of people. I mean, it's crazy out there. So, I think, and this goes for authors as well, certainly for publicists, but everybody just needs to be nimble. You need to be paying attention to what's going on, and be able to pivot because everything is changing. So one of the things we always talk about for it's work that we do when we're doing a campaign, and we sort of teach authors to do this as well, is you want to pay a lot of attention to similar books in your space and how they're landing in the media and what has led to their success. And I always recommend that authors do that, in advance. Just because I think for authors, and maybe I'd be curious to see if you see this as well, particularly in the business space. But, I think it can be very hard if you're an author that's not in publishing or media, and to sort of understand the mechanics of a campaign. And like this book, I keep hearing about it everywhere, and it's doing really well, and it sold this many and went into a third print run or whatever it is. And, to sort of understand, well, how does that happen? Things are happening behind the scenes. What? So I always sort of encourage authors to really try and pay attention to that as much as they can with books that are similar, that might have a similar target audience. Look and see, where are they speaking? What podcasts are they doing? What kind of speaking engagements or festivals are they doing? What journalists are they, chatting with on social media? Not to be creepy and be, suggest everyone go sleuthing around, with other authors, but you do want to pay attention. It gives you a really clear kind of roadmap, so that you're not, it doesn't just all feel very like amorphous and mysterious. Like, I don't know, how's this book popping? I don't know. What? You want to really be able to map it out.
Yeah, and the easiest thing that I tell authors to do is go to that competitive author's website and look at their media page. Likely they have a list of the media hits that they've earned, and that will be a good window into some possible outlets that could be a good fit for your book.
Absolutely, definitely. And they can also, poke around on social media, see, if they have had a lot of media attention. You can see, maybe who, like, poke around and see who's following them or who they're following. And, it might be journalists that just spoke to them for an interview.
That's a really great tip. So, as we start to wrap up today, we always at the end of every episode of the Book Marketing Action Podcast, we want to give people a couple of action steps that they could take today to get better traction for their work. And one thing that stood out to me that you said, Leah, is the importance of the subject line. So, if you're an author who's listening today, why don't you, for the next week, as you're sending potential pitches on for yourself or reaching out to someone to support your book, look at those 7 or 8 words in your subject line a little bit more closely and see if you can experiment with different subject lines to increase the traction of your messages. So that's my first action step for you today. The second action step that I have goes back to something that we were just talking about, Leah. We were just talking about how you can use social media to sleuth and find out what other competitive titles in your space are doing. And I thought that was a great tip. So for those of you who might be wondering about ways to get more traction for your book, look at what other successful authors in your spaces are doing, and check out the conversations that they're having in the media that they're earning. And that might be a window into something you could look for yourself. What do you think
Yeah.
about those action steps?
I love those action steps. I love them. One thing that we do, this is one of the exercises we do at Book Publicity School, that helps people find a good subject line, is that you write some subject lines, and then email them to yourself, but on a delay. So put them in an email and then schedule. Like, if you have Gmail, you can schedule an email for later. Just do it, a day later, 3 days later, a random time, and then forget about it. And then it will pop into your inbox at a time when you're not expecting it. And you will more easily be able to judge if that's a good subject line. Because you, as somebody who has received probably tens of thousands of emails in your life, you also are a very good judge of what is a good subject line. You open some emails, you don't open other emails. And when you sort of see it as, when you're the recipient rather than the sender, you can see it more clearly. So that's a really good exercise for sharpening your subject line.
I love that exercise. That is so fun. So before we wrap up, Leah, if people are interested in finding out more about you, about Press Shop PR, or about Book Publicity School, where are the best ways and places that people can connect with you?
Yeah, so the websites are a great place for both of them. For Press Shop PR, it's there's three S's in a row and two P's in a row, so it's Press Shop PR.com and bookpublicityschool.com. That one's a little easier. And then LinkedIn. It's my personal LinkedIn is always a great place to connect with me. And then we also have pages for Press Shop and Book Publicity School on LinkedIn. And then also Press Shop PR on Twitter or X.
All right. Well, Leah, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with our listeners. And I look forward to continuing to collaborate with you in the future. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
Thanks for listening to the Book Marketing Action Podcast. If you haven't already, I hope you'll subscribe to our weekly newsletter at weavinginfluence.com for more access to ongoing learning and conversation. If you're new to the show and not sure where to start in exploring our episode archives, see the show notes for a list of my favorite five shows as a way to get started. If you need support for your book marketing journey, Weaving Influence is your one-stop shop for digital marketing and PR services. We craft and implement strategies customized to your long-term goals and can support you during every phase of your author journey. Now it's time to take action on what you learned today. Be sure to let us know how you've implemented today's action steps.